September, the World Trade Organization chose to come to Cancun, Mexico to negotiate its fifth ministerial meeting, actually, to negotiate what they call a development round. The development round focuses entirely on agriculture. It's actually the result of what happened in Seattle. In Seattle, the developing nations weren't heard from very much. The WTO went to Doha, declared a development round, and the development round very quickly gravitated to this question of agriculture. 70% of the people on this planet, the poor people on this planet, engage in agriculture. And 12,000 farmers came to Cancun in order to say, we're farmers, we just want to be farmers. We love this land, this is why we love this land, this is why we will not leave this land. They came to say what Saud said, what Comandante David said, you know, that we want to continue being farmers. At one very dramatic moment in the Cancun meeting, a farm leader from Korea, Lee Kwang Hai, climbed the police barricades about 5 miles from the convention center and with a sign around his neck that said, the WTO kills farmers, and plunged a dagger into his heart, committed suicide on the police barricades. I saw him fall. It changed the nature of the Cancun meeting. It not only galvanized the farmers, but it made the delegates understand how desperate the farmers of the world are. No? Before such questions as subsidies, the U.S. pays $21,000 an acre to every corn farmer in the United States. No? This means they can sell their corn in Mexico at 20% below cost. This drives farmers off the land in Mexico. They can no longer sell in the internal market. They join the migration stream. They go north. Since the North American Free Trade Agreement was signed in 1992, 12 years ago, over 3,000 Mexicans, many of them displaced farmers precisely because of NAFTA, have died crossing the U.S. border into the U.S. looking for gainful employment. 3,000 farmers, that's more people than died on 9/11 in the World Trade Towers, yet we never hear about it, you know. And more than that, this corn that pours across the border that displaces farmers in Mexico and pushes them off the land is genetically modified. 60% of the 6 million tons that come to Mexico each year, 4 million tons, is genetically modified. Mexico is the birthplace of corn. This is where corn comes from 4,000 years ago in the states of Puebla and Oaxaca in the Altiplano. Yet now in the Altiplano, when you go to the top of the Sierra del Norte in Oaxaca, when you go to the Valley of Tehuacan, where corn was originally cultivated in Mexico and Puebla, you find that the corn is contaminated by genetic modification. It's spreading like wildfire into the most remote places in all of Mexico. This is a direct attack upon the identity crop, the traditional crop, the crop that tells the people who they are, as much as the destruction of the olive trees in Palestine is a way of denying the identity of the Palestinian people. Corrupting the corn as they have in Mexico is, in a real sense, denying the identity of the indigenous people. I'd like to read a poem for Mr. Lee. It's called The Three Deaths of Mr. Lee. Mr. Lee had some cows, but he lost them to the bank. His friends explained sadly, sometimes Mr. Lee would return to his lost farm and just sit there staring at the fallow land blowing away in the wind. Times are tough for small farmers in Korea, in Mexico, in Palestine, in the south, in the north, the east, and the west. He had some land. He had some cows. He lost them both to the bank or the government or the World Trade Organization or something bigger than himself. That was Mr. Lee's first death. Mr. Lee came to Cancun, Mexico, to protest with his many comrades, the World Trade Organization, the bank, the government, the something bigger than themselves. They wanted to sweep them all into the blue Caribbean Sea, and on the day of their dead, the Koreans marched to the gates of the palace and tried to shake them down. Mr. Lee, who was not young anymore, climbed the barricade and with a warrior cry plunged the dagger deep into his sad heart. I saw him teeter and fall, his rich red blood spilling onto the tropical concrete as he merged with his ancestors. That was Mr. Lee's second death. The day after Mr. Lee's second death, a handful of farmers wearing green kerchiefs brought candles and white flowers to mourn Mr. Lee right inside the belly of the beast. They marched around and around the Cancun Convention Center, laden with their sadness, so dignified by it that their authority caused the officials of the World Trade Organization to flinch, an uncommon posture for such great men. Then the campesinos built an altar, all candle wax and white petals to remember the lost land, the lost cows, the lost dreams, the dead farmers spread under the sun, north, south, east, west. And on the second day after Mr. Lee's second death, we danced in the street and sang anthems to the earth, and the Cancun police began to weep. And on the third day after Mr. Lee's second death, we pulled down the barricades and shock rained down upon the still green ground, and we insisted to the gods that we were all Mr. Lee. And on the fourth day after Mr. Lee's second death, the delegates from the four places in the south of the planet Earth took Mr. Lee into their hearts, and the talks collapsed into ashes in the mouths of the powerful, and we all went home smiling. That was Mr. Lee's third death, his resurrection and ascent into the lost land from which he would be born again and again. Three deaths of Mr. Lee.